Taylor Hansen. Welcome to the show, finally.
Hey, man. Thanks.
Sorry you were so far down on the list. I just get it.
Oh.
How you been?
Been good. Yeah. Can't complain. Just working away, family life, and it's been good.
Yeah, it's been a minute since we've talked, so thanks for being on the show. I'm excited to have you here. You're a stud.
Yeah, I think no problem.
A lot of people get to learn a lot of things today.
Perfect. Well, what's up?
So I guess before we get started, like I said, I can do an introduction. Like I said, my friend Taylor Hansen. We met probably the same time as I met most of these people on this call or on this on my podcast lately. We met probably 5-6 years ago. We all came from the same group under Jonathan Potosnik. And we all met, became good friends, and we all grew businesses together. He is out of Lehi, Utah. He runs a fertilization weed control / pest control company called Green Grounds Lawn and Pest. I'll let you tell the story of how you got in the industry. You have a really cool story, similar to mine and Travis's, all the changes you've made over the last 2 years. And yeah, just take us through the journey, man. Like, I think that most people, their journey is a lot similar to ours, which they don't understand, you know? So like, just walk us through that. Like when you got started out of high school, things like that.
Yeah, totally. So I never really, like I did a little bit of lawn stuff through high school to kind of pay the bills. Like I didn't come, my family didn't have a ton of money, but I always liked, somehow I got gifted an aerator. So I would go knock door to doors and get money to aerate neighbors' lawns, and that would give me enough spending money to work for, you know, 2 or 3 weekends, and then not have to work for the rest of the year, like through high school and stuff. But so the way that I got into it, I knew that I wanted to start a business. So after high school, I went and worked for a whole bunch of random things that I thought I wanted to do. So I thought I wanted to own a cabinet shop making kitchen cabinets. So I went and got a job for a cabinet shop. I was like, best way to figure out how to learn the ropes and figure out if I really want to do that. Did that for about 6 months and hated it. I'm like, this is the worst thing ever. Don't want to do this. Then I thought I wanted to own a tow truck company doing impounds and stuff. Went and worked for a tow truck company for about 6 months. Hated it. It's like,
were you a good
employee? Don't want to do this. I was great. Yeah. I feel like I was good in the fact that I was always wanting to learn. I was there not to make money. I was there to try and learn as much information so I could take that and go do my own thing. So like I have had alternative motives, and I feel like that's what kind of pushed me to be a great employee, not because I was a great employee, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I felt like I always was trying to learn and ask as many questions as possible and just kind of had a hunger to really figure out how the business worked, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So I was just in a weird spot. I ended up, when I was working for the tow truck company, I towed someone's car who did door-to-door sales, and he convinced me to go do door-to-door sales for him for the company called Vivint. So it was like the best, it was the funniest thing ever, because I hated where I was at. I knew I was just in limbo. I wanted to start a company and then I didn't know what it was. So I figured, hey man, if I can learn sales, like all of those skills are going to translate into starting a business. So long story short, I went out and did summer sales selling alarm systems in Dallas, Texas. And when I was up there, I see this truck roll up and, you know, 3 guys get out and mow the entire street while I'm knocking doors. And it was the most interesting thing to me. So I got on YouTube and Googled, or YouTube and searched lawn mowing, found Lawn Care Millionaire. So Jonathan Potosnik, saw that he was launching this academy thing. And I was just like, just sold in by it, kind of his message. And I ended up joining the academy. I'm sure you've talked about it on here on that. So I started in that kind of mentor group and started my lawn mowing business about 3 months later. So I started before that. And it was just a small world that the trucks that I saw mowing the street were actually Jonathan Potosnik's trucks.
Really?
Like it was like just the craziest small world. Yeah, it was City Turf trucks that I saw. And I didn't really put the two together until after I had joined Academy. I was like, this is the craziest thing ever.
That's
So
wild.
yeah, so it started, that was 2015. So yeah, that was when that was my very first year rolling in business.
Talk us through that year or summer of the door-to-door for Vivint. How was that experience?
It was really good. I enjoyed the things that I learned. It's something that, man, sales is gnarly. So I will say I don't feel like I'm a natural salesman at all. I feel like I'm super awkward, and I am super awkward, and I just am not the greatest at communicating, but I felt like I'm a pretty process-oriented person, right? So I knew it was a numbers game, right? I was like, okay, today sucks. It's hot as shit. I've got to go knock doors. But if I knock 100 doors, I'm going to talk to 25 people. I talk to 25 people, I'm going to get in the house of 10 people. Okay, I get in the house, I'm going to sell three of those. Three sales in a day, solid. Like, so I was able to kind of reverse into making it success for me. So it was a good experience and I enjoyed it. So super hot, learned a lot. Had some really interesting people above me. I don't know if you know Adam Webb.
Yep.
Um,
He's a
yeah,
stud.
so Adam Webb was, yeah, he's an OG in the
Yep.
door-to-door world. The thing I love about, yeah, he was one of those people in life that I ran into that would always question my beliefs, whether he agreed with them or not. He'd always just be like, well, why do you believe that? Like, and always would flop everything on a head. And I think he was the first person that really triggered me to start, I don't know if start, but helped provoke my thoughts and questions on really why I believe things and helping me learn more.
So
So I met some really cool people.
like
Yeah. Who
basically
just
killing those
planted
sacred
seeds.
cows,
Yeah.
right? Killing those sacred
Totally.
cows.
Yeah, like he was only in my life for, 2 or 3 months, like very short time, but just his thought process intrigued to me, and definitely got
Yeah.
me on the path of self learning, that or whatever you want to call
For
it.
sure. How much did that summer change your life as a whole and, even you individually? You said you're kind of like an introvert, not really an extrovert, or,
Yeah,
kind
for
of awkward at
sure.
sales, like most people think they are.
No, I would say I'm an introvert for sure. I feel like I do all right on a one-on-one conversation level, usually in person. Feel like I'm awkward on this, but it's all good. But no, it really, it kind of really pushed home that, hey man, you can suck at something, but if you keep rolling, you can be successful. If you just have to kind of back into it numbers wise, and you can push through and have light at the end of the tunnel if you're not flying with, blindfolds on.
Yeah, just committed. So I have a funny story about that because I had a kid last year that came out. His name is Ben. Ben, if you're listening to the podcast, shout out to Ben. Introvert, quiet as all hell, young kid, 19 years old last year. I think he sold maybe 50 pounds all year. Great kid, bought in, super fun to be around. I was like, but there's no way this kid's coming back ever, right? For a second year. Like, he just didn't have a great summer, but he learned a lot. He surprised me. He surprised me. He surprised everyone else. But there's one kid that I kind of knew that's been mentoring the whole time. Ben stuck it out and yesterday dropped 12 accounts. Like it's just absolutely absurd.
Jesus.
He has more accounts this year
That's
already
cool.
in 2 weeks than he did all of last summer. So, like you said,
Wow.
just like getting through that, that first year, the first summer of how hard it is and pushing yourself. But again, stay
Totally.
committed to learn and it can really, really push you forward. Okay, so 2015, you started the business. I started mowing lawns, kind of to walk us through from 2015 till 2023, where you are today. And a lot of changes happened there.
Totally, 100%. So I started as a strictly lawn mowing company. So all we did was mow lawns. So nothing else. I joined, like I said, I joined that mentorship and that academy group, and it helped me. I feel like I avoided a lot of problems. So long story short, I guess as soon as I started, I was the one mowing lawns, but I had the plan to get out of mowing lawns. possible. So I was actually probably mowing lawns for a handful of months myself personally. So I would kind of took the door-to-door knocking of what I just learned with Vivint. So pretty much I took all of that money that I made from summer sales, rolled it straight
So smart.
into equipment. So I bought, I fleeted out a trailer and, some push mowers, trimmers, and kind of everything that I needed. And then, just an old shitty $15,000 truck or $10,000 truck or something. Did the job just fine. And then I knocked doors, just neighbors' doors while I was mowing. And then I pretty much did that up until I couldn't, I didn't, after servicing all the work, I had no free time to go sell anymore. As soon as that happened, I hired two people to replace me on the truck. And then I went back out and did a little bit more door to door till I had those few routes, routes full. And that was kind of my process
So
of
I
getting
think
going.
I'm thinking like through the podcast that we've had over the past,
Yeah.
couple, the very, very successful stories are those people who are willing to put in the work. Like I think of
Yeah.
like Chase. Chase is sitting
Yeah.
there, high school kid making phone calls.
Yeah,
Like that's
totally.
not normal, right? Cold calling
Yeah.
commercial accounts, cold calling customers. Like you're
Yeah.
out knocking doors, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
You go into the door-to-door industry, then you start your own company, you're knocking doors again. Like that's what it takes. Like the work just doesn't show up. Like we would
Yeah,
post an
totally.
ad in the newspaper back in the day or post an ad on Facebook and the people just think, oh, the jobs are just gonna start rolling in. Then
Yeah.
12 months into it, they're like, holy shit, what am I gonna do with this company? Like we're not growing at all.
Totally.
So
Yeah.
I'm super proud of you. Like not a lot of people do that. That's pretty cool.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so I continued that for a handful of years. We did mowing for, man, my memory is horrible. Probably about 5 years is about what we did. Learned a lot of love throughout everything. So I met my wife. We I was so in 2015, I started the company, and then I got married that same year. So we were dating. I was dating my wife at the time, and then we got married. So it was an interesting dynamic,
Shout out to
starting my
Brinkley.
business. Yeah, Brinkley holding down the fort. So she was my sugar mama for a while. For probably 2 years, she carried everything, and then I was just trying to roll everything that I was making back into the company. Super helpful. At the same time, I think that was a crutch, a big time crutch, that I didn't have to know my numbers as well, because I knew that I had a backdrop of my sugar mama. So in all honesty, I think through that whole lesson, as soon as I, needed to start, there's a point in time where I really had, I don't even know what triggered it or what, but as soon as I really started paying myself a decent wage, it's like I really had to tighten up my numbers. So I think knowing your cost, I feel like one of the biggest lies or things that you tell yourself when you're first starting is that you're reinvesting, even though you're just super inefficient and you're not strategically reinvesting. Like reinvesting would mean it's like, okay, you have all that cash and then you pull that out and you put that into something specifically versus like just running it tight and trying to, does that
Yeah,
make any
it does.
sense what I'm saying?
Absolutely, it
Yeah.
does.
Yeah. So anyway, I did that for about 5 years. And then in 2020, I ended up having, my son was born. So I was in a great spot, honestly. I had an operations manager running the mowing side of things. At that time, we were probably doing like 800,000-ish in revenue or so. We had like five mow crews, two guys each, and then we had two garden crews and a fertilization truck, something like that. But I was able to take about 2.5, 3 months off for that time. It was a little excessive, but I wanted to be there for that whole experience of first off just helping off and then helping out and then being there. And I really got to kind of step out of the weeds and really see things that I hated about my business. Everything revolved around the mowing that I hated. So all their employee issues, all of the scheduling issues, all of the equipment issues, and it's the least profitable service. So through all of that time that I got to kind of stay away and look at things, I decided to take a huge step back and rip off the band-aid and get rid of everything except the fertilization. And then at that time, we probably had, man, like 100 grand worth of fertilizer that we were doing. So it was a big step back. I found a local company that wanted to buy all of our mowing accounts, and then we purchased all of his fertilizing accounts. It wasn't a ton. It was like 50 grand or 70 grand in revenue. It was really tiny. And then a little bit of cash exchange. It wasn't a huge thing, but so I knew it was going to be a big step back. But it, man, quality of life change was pretty dramatic. So now we're 2.5 years in now of fert only, fert and pest only.
So, and that's a similar story to a lot of us, sold off the mowing, found someone to buy the accounts, got a little bit of cash into the company. You gained, $50,000, $70,000 in accounts for fertilization weed control. But so that's 2020, and now we're in 2023. You go back to like 100,000 revenue, maybe you added that 70, so you're at 170, starting all over. Now the people are like, okay, so how do you grow that side of the company? What was your focus? What was your marketing tactics? What made you stand out? More importantly than anything, what made you choose pink? All those things, like put it into perspective for the people that are listening. Like that's a tough challenge to do, to sell everything off and move forward. We've both done it, but it's hard.
It's interesting thinking back on it. Like my quality of life and my where I'm at now, I wouldn't trade it for the world, but it was a pretty painful step
Yeah,
back. Like, if we're
agreed.
being all honest, I had two office girls at the time that they were both full time, and then I wanted to keep both of them, even though it's like, dude, I didn't even have enough work to pay myself, essentially. Like, I knew that we had to grow this fast. So a few things. So I think my biggest thing that I saw right off the bat is like, I just need to add volume at this point. I just need to get back to really covering my overhead of, my pay and our new office that we moved into, and then my two office girls and all of that. So, man, I don't even know. So I guess I do know, but I had a few different strategies. One, I wanted to do some small acquisitions. Like I thought that that would be help. That would be one of my quickest ways to get volume up without having to wait on acquiring clients through online. So with acquisitions, they're so hard. It's like the client doesn't choose you. They're never priced the way that you do. Their service is never the best. Like, it's just a shitty transition
Sure
usually.
is.
But I was willing to pay a little bit more than I could have acquired clients just for speed to get a big chunk of stuff up fast. I did one small client or one small acquisition that was like another about 100,000 of revenue,
Smart.
of a company, and that helped get us a little bit more volume. And then everything else was a mix of upsells and some light door to door from some of our technicians and digital marketing.
So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about those exactly, taking some notes. First question I'll ask is, how did you find that person to go acquire?
So I feel that everyone should know everyone in your industry.
Agreed.
Like, I feel like if I see someone rolling down the road in a lawn care truck or whatever, I'm at the gas station, I'll go talk to them, see if they're the owner, and just kind of know, just get to know people. So I had made a few prior friendships, and so it was just a prior friendship that I had, and it was a guy that owned a pest control and a fertilizer. He was a pest control company and got into fertilizer and was getting his ass kicked and just hated it and
See
wanted
that
to
all
get
the
out. And
time,
that's like
and vice versa. Yeah.
every single pest control company that gets into lawn care is out in a year or two. Like, that's kind of a common trend, I think.
Yep, same here.
And then so I knew that it was a bit of a pain point for him, and I just went and approached him and asked him. I was able to structure the deal so it was 100% owner finance, so it cash flowed from day one. I didn't have to, go to the bank and do any of that. He held the note, and it worked out great.
So just
So,
leveraging your network.
well, yeah, totally. Yeah. So it was nice because it's like I needed all the cash that I had to help with growth. And with that deal, I didn't have to put anything down. Like it was cash flowed from day one and helped give us that volume. And it was very helpful.
That's cool because the same thing happened to me yesterday.
Cool.
I acquired a company, had some like 40 million accounts. I made one phone call to another friend that lives in our area. He used to be an academy
Yeah.
back in the day. Called him up. It's like, hey, I got these 40 accounts. I don't want nothing to do with them. You want them? He's like, oh my God, absolutely. He's still in mowing. It's like 50 grand revenue. He's like, well, we don't want to do any more fertilization weed control. He's like, we have like 70 grand in revenue. You want to swap? I'm like, sounds like a plan.
Done.
That fast.
Where do I sign?
Yeah, that fast. So it's like leveraging your network is so important.
Totally. Yeah. So that deal, I mean, from the very beginning conversation of that deal to close was probably 48 hours
Yeah.
as far as, negotiating terms, negotiating how that process took, what that process was going to be and everything. So
Did you get a
it was
lawyer
very quick.
involved or anything like that, or write up a letter, or did you guys just kind of
No.
wing it?
We wrote up a general contract between the two of us and signed it kind of through DocuSign, and
Yeah.
everything's been great.
Sweet.
Haven't had any issues.
Did it come with
Yeah,
any
and
employees
again
or
with
did you just swap ju or just get equipment and
just no, not even equipment. It was literally just accounts.
okay.
So we had enough equipment and employees to be able to swallow it and not have to. So it was only 100 grand. So it was
Yeah.
like a for us, it was like a half of a route of a technician. So it
Right.
wasn't massive,
And
but
then
for the work that we had, it was good.
you mentioned something about when you first started out, you and we talked about this a few years ago, back when we were both starting to just like think about maybe knocking some doors, and you said you're gonna have your technicians maybe have a half route for the day, and then they just go talk to the neighbors, hopefully sell a few
Totally.
neighbors. How did that end up working out? Kind of walk us through that process. Pretty cool.
Yeah, so that was the whole plan. So we're running, I guess not that it really matters. We're running vans like everyone else is on the
Yep.
fertilizer and pest, well, really pest control side. But we wanted to have lighter routes and have the technicians be able to have the freedom and compensate them pretty heavily to upsell. The first little bit went super great because we hadn't really focused on upsells before. So it was like a hidden treasure for them as
Yeah.
far as being able to be motivated to knock and add on pest control. So we added on quite a bit of pest control to our existing clients, and that was super great. I do feel like after, that first year or so, I don't know if return or the juice wasn't as worth the squeeze to them at that point. So they honestly have backed off quite a bit on the door-to-door of the new client. It's interesting. So I feel like a technician and a door-to-door sales guys are two different people, right?
100%.
So
If you find one, there's a unicorn. We've talked about that in podcasts too.
totally.
Yep.
So I do have one unicorn, I would say. So currently he'll sell. So springtime, he'll sell for about 4 or 5 months, and then he'll come back and do the tech work at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it's really rare. Like, I don't think that that's a scalable model. And if I find someone like that, I totally will take advantage of it and use it. So he uses a van and he'll sell it and service it. So, and then towards the end of the year, when the sales slow down, he'll just come back and start teching. So I have, yeah. So I'd say two of my guys just head down, would rather just work. They're making great money just doing the teching and just want to focus on that. And they'll upsell if it falls into their lap, but they're not doing a ton of it. One technician likes to upsell and likes a little bit lighter routes. And then I have the other guy that likes to just straight sell. Like he makes significantly more money doing
Yeah.
that and then just coming back and in the slow time.
Cool. So we had a question on the podcast last week, and it'll help answer that guy's same question. Is like, as a lawn care provider for Leash Weed Control, he was having troubles selling pest control to his current clients. Do you find that being a struggle as well? Or do you find your best, having the guys on the doors already there, do you think that's your best way to acquire those clients or upsell those clients on the doors?
I feel like you definitely have a hard time gaining. If they've got issues, they're not going to come to you, is my first impression. Like if you're a lawn care company and someone has, you know, issues with anything, they don't think of you as a pest control company.
Right.
But I do feel like it is a very easy way to do a structural pest add-on for someone that wants ease of dealing with doesn't want to deal with another, and then major issues like B is using another company that, you know, but they don't have any issues. So I feel like there's a percentage of clients that will never use us for that. Like they just want an inside spray and, you know, straight pest control company. But I do feel like there's a chunk of them. But our company is a fertilization company that does pest add-on. Like we're not a pest control company in the eyes of everyone, in my opinion. So I don't know if I like pushing like, so our name is literally Green Grounds Lawn Pest, but we have like a handful of pest only clients, like I would say. Yeah, under 10, but then we have about 30% add-on of, so call it 100% you do fertilizer and then 30% add-on of pest.
Okay,
cool. It's about what our, high 20s, not quite 30. But
so you think the best results that you've had acquiring and upselling those customers to pest was your technicians on the doors trying to upsell it?
100%. So I would say that's by far the easiest and the fastest way is the techs. There is only a percentage of people that are going to be home though, as far as, you know, that are going to be able to talk to the technicians. Yeah. Another thing that we've had success with that we've liked is our notification that we give the day before, like right in the hot seasons, right when pests are starting to be a big deal, we'll just shoot out to say, hey, our tech's coming to do your fertilizer count. We've been having a lot of calls about bugs. Do you want us to add that on? Like, and do it right there. And then just a quick yes back has been helpful for us as far as add on. So yeah, if that answers your question, tech on the door and then a notification beforehand.
And then I brought up a couple other questions for you. I mean, I have a lot to talk about here, but during all this time, you swap CRMs too.
Yes.
Walk us. So, to be very clear, you were on Service Autopilot, tried and true Service Autopilot guy, just like myself. Realized that it wasn't perfect for some things. Nothing is, we found out, you know. Talk us through that transition from Service Autopilot to pest routes in the lawn care world.
Yeah. Man, have you talked about this before on the podcast?
I have not.
Man, it was a nightmare. So long story short, started with Service Autopilot, used it for 5-6 years. It was great. Love it. Yeah. There's no way I could use pest routes, what I'm on currently, for mowing lawns or doing anything else besides pest control and fertilizer.
Yeah, maybe cleaning because of time blocks for stops.
Yeah.
Cleaning.
Yeah. I pest routes was a little bit more niched in what we were doing. I felt that the communication and the experience between the client was a little bit better.
I agree.
The user phase for them. So we spent a whole, again, I and me making a horrible decision on timing. We ended up doing it in between our first and second round of fertilizer. So we did it like right in the springtime during your heavy volume. And we're like just kind of balancing between the two systems. And my office girls hated me, that's for sure. But we really liked pest routes. We got set up. I love their dashboard. I love a lot of the data and stuff that it gives you. The thing that is interesting is you find things with your other like report center or automations or stuff that you like with one, and you go to this next one and it doesn't have it the exact way. So it's like there's still workarounds, right?
Yeah.
Like we're still having to manually pull some reports, doing a little bit of back-end stuff to get data that I liked that Service Autopilot gave me, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So and then just problems. So I know that you had a little bit of problems with missing a whole bunch of services
Yep.
and not knowing it. So you had called me and talked to me and like, you having this issue? I'm like, no, not at all. Everything's nice and peachy. We had that problem. So we like a few months later, we started. I was like, what in the world is going on? Like our cash flow started getting a little bit tighter and tighter, which was very strange. And I went back and looked at things, and we got way behind. So the way that we had set up, just long story short, the way that we set it up, if someone like needed to skip a service, like, hey, I'm, you know, out of town, I can't lock my gates, push me to next week, it would the whole service would fall off and would miss a whole round. So long story short, we were probably 150 grand behind schedule towards the end of the year. We had like two apps to make it up. So we was just hammer time. So we just hired another technician and cranked through, and we were able to make up all that revenue without too much of a headache. But it's just learning curves. I don't think the grass is greener on either side. There's just things that are difficult. So I would say, you know, do your research on what one you think is going to be best, and then kind of just go all in.
Yeah, and
And
like I said,
there's
we're
going to
not
be
here
shit that's
to
different.
plug one or
Yeah,
the other. It was just like making
totally.
that
Yeah.
transition. Would you do that transition again? No, you know
I
what I
don't know.
mean?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. And now that I'm here, I would not switch back
Right.
because of the headache of doing that. But I'd say it's like sixes. They both have pros and cons, and I would say they're both about equal. So I don't. If I was on Service Autopilot, I would stay and not go back to Pest Routes. If I was on Pest Routes,
You're not going back to Service
I would
Autopilot.
not switch. Yeah.
My
So.
question for you then is, how did you or did you have a workaround for automations for marketing? Are you using a different type of CRM for just that? Are you trying to use Pest Routes?
We just had to do a lot of offline stuff. So we don't have
Yep.
a we're honest. We're using Trello, to be honest. So it's a lot of offline stuff. So it's just you know what Trello is, right?
Yep,
It's just
yep.
got the columns. So essentially it's our lead follow-up process. Like all of our audit, it was all automated before in Service Autopilot, where you know, 2 days later,
Yeah.
they got a lead letter in the mail, and then
Right.
2 days later, they got a text, or 2 days later, they got a call, and it was all kind of automated. It's far more manual on our end. So as soon as a new client goes, it'll flag something to put it into Trello, and then they just kind of follow through the list and have to do a little bit more manual back end stuff on some of that
Would you say
automation
that's the
stuff.
biggest thing that you miss about Service Autopilot would be the automation side of things?
I would say the automations, and I do think their report center is underrated, is my personal thoughts. I just even their custom built ones, nothing like that you have to build customly. I think that they had quite a bit of good reports at reporting. So yeah, like their lead report close rate ratio, I really loved in Service Autopilot, and I'm having my girls have to do a lot of that offline just to be able to track our close rate on the back end office. Like, so just Pest Routes, I feel like was built for a door-to-door pest control
Absolutely.
company. It's like your close rate's 100%. If they don't close, you don't put them in the system for the door-to-door guys, right? So it's like a lot of that office back end tracking, I feel like, is lacking, where Service Autopilot was built around inbound calls and needing to know that data on, you know, leads, close rates
Yeah.
into clients and
Yep.
all of that. So yeah, I feel like Pest Routes is lacking on that side, but I do like Pest Routes better on the routing and client interface kind of
Yeah,
thing.
and for when we do a pest control, we have to have time blocks. So Service Autopilot wasn't great at having any time blocks, just at the dispatch board, and there, it was a struggle for that. So that's why we made the switch. Of course, we have some guys out selling too. So the app for Service Autopilot wasn't great. So we still run both. We run Service Autopilot for our lawn side and Pest Routes for our best for our pest side. Again, not the greatest option. It's been a struggle with that too, but we've made it work. All of our new branches, they're all under Pest Routes. Pest Routes launched their new lawn care side. Seems to be working out so far, but we'll see how that goes. You mentioned something early in the podcast about knowing your numbers. Did you go to any of like Jason Cupp's round tables, or what made you really start looking at your numbers?
That's a great question. No, I didn't do any of Jason Cupp's round tables, but like I, in the Academy calls, they had Greg Crabtree.
Yeah, simple numbers, big profits.
Yeah, I think he was my biggest. It's weird what hits home to you at certain times of reading things and listening to things. So he was on the podcast, or not the podcast. He was on one of the Academy calls, and it was really interesting to me. A lot of stuff kind of went over my head at the time. Just wasn't super crucial. I was just focusing more so on growth, and marketing. And then going back and listening to that again, or going and reading his book, was pretty massive. And I think he was kind of the biggest factor of really finding out the importance. So I think I think the biggest, if I could go back in time and whack myself in the head when I was just getting going, I would charge double and really focus on gross margin. It's like, it's incredible when you're mowing and, you know, 50% or 60% goes out to labor. It's just not a lot of wiggle room there versus, you know, you're at 10 or 15% going out to labor. It's a completely different equation. So there's a lot more wiggle room for error in that. But I feel like, yeah, that gross margin is something to watch.
Yeah, I think that there has not been a single person on this podcast yet that hasn't said the same exact thing. Like over and over and over again.
Yeah.
If they could go back, yeah, the first thing they would fix is their pricing.
Yeah.
So to all you people that are listening that are just starting out in business, reach out to people that are on this podcast or been in the podcast in the past, and or someone that's out there that can help you with the pricing to make sure that you know your COGS and your profit margins, you know all your numbers, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think part of that is just when you're starting a business, normally you don't have a ton of cash. You're pretty dang broke. You're the one doing a lot of the stuff. You are normally not a buyer of your product. So you're like, holy shit, I'm never going to pay $160 or $120 to have someone come spray pest control in my house. Like, it's just, you're just not a buyer of your product. And I think that is a huge mental block of why it's so hard for people to charge a proper price. It's just,
and I think
not an idea.
Yeah. Go right along that line is back when you first started out, you're thinking, oh man, $150 is a lot of money.
Totally.
But to our,
because you were used to make an hourly before you.
Yeah. But to our consumers, that's a drop in the bucket. Like, they'll never even notice it leaving their account. And they want to protect their most valuable asset, and that's their house and their property. And they're gonna pay $150, whatever that number is. That's very minimal.
And their time.
Right, and their time
as well.
You know, you have these guys that are lawyers or doctors that are making, you know, 100,000 to a million some a year, and they're gonna pay $600 a year to take care of their property. Like, of course they're gonna pay that.
Yeah.
So it's just that mindset shift, like you said. Great, great point.
Yeah, for sure.
So what is the next few years like looking for you, Taylor? Like, what is your goals in the next, like I said, 3 to 5 years?
That is a great question. So I've gotten pretty heavily into cycling. Yeah. I've told you that before.
There's a spare tire right behind you.
There is a spare tire. I really like Utah. So I hate Utah and I love Utah. I love that from where I'm at, like from a personal hobby, cycling's awesome. Like, I can leave from my house and there's like 5 or 6 super awesome canyons and roads and to go ride that people travel, you know, the world to come do. But, and it's just right here in my backyard, and I've never ever really utilized it. I don't think I was a super outdoors person before, but getting on the bike is like taking me to the craziest places that were in my backyard that I didn't even know existed. It was funny. I've got, you know, Matt Davis. Do you know Matt Davis? Yeah. Anyway, he would always give me so much crap. He would fly in and we would go do something, some hike or some ice climbing or something. He's like, dude, this is all in your backyard and you never utilize any of it. And he would get so mad. And then after I got super heavy in the bike, I've really enjoyed Utah a lot. The thing that I do hate is winters. So I, from a quality of life and just me being happy, I want to find another location to open up.
It was
I, not even
OKC at
that
one point,
really.
right?
Yeah. So I wanted to get out of the, I want to get out of the cold winter during the winter is my thing. But I'm thinking about just slightly south of us. Like we can go 4 hours south, still in the state, warm winter, full service pest control during the winter, and would help with a little bit of seasonality of the business. And then also scratches my itch of still being able to have all these cool rides and get out of. So I guess long story short, yeah, I was planning on getting more down Oklahoma and Texas area, but I think it might still be Utah and just have kind of a winter summer house that I just kind of go back and forth between the two locations.
That's awesome. And how's Brinkley's
Makes
business
sense.
going? If for all the people that are listening, like Brinkley has a, she trains horses for a living. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, sorry, you cut out
Oh,
there for a
yeah.
bit. Yeah, no, she's doing great. So she's got kind of a horse riding lesson academy thing that she runs. So she's got about 100 kids that come once a week to take horse riding lessons. We've got an indoor barn, and then she has two teachers that teach the lessons, and they come weekly. And then she buys and sells horses. And then, yeah, she's doing great. She's been doing it, and it was a she had a little bit of a change with when she had our kids. She taught everything and was the chuck in a truck kind of thing for her business, as far as she was the, you know, the main head honcho there. And then as soon as she got pregnant with our boy in, you know, 2.5 years ago, 3 years ago, she ended up hiring some teachers, and that's kind of changed the her experience with things. But yeah, it's going great, and she loves it,
That's
and
really cool.
it's good.
Good for
Yeah.
her. A few years
Yep.
back, was it 2020 or 2021? The winter of 2021, somewhere in there, where you hired your first operations manager. Was it your first? Maybe it was your second. I'm not sure.
So it was, when was that? It was 21. I don't know. Yeah, 20. I think it was 21. No, started 22 is when it was. So
Okay.
just not this past winter, but the one before that.
Gotcha.
Yeah, hired an operations manager.
It's like February, if I remember right.
Yeah,
Yeah.
correct. Yeah, February of 22. And yeah, we had a few interviews. We interviewed him with our office girls, thought he was great. He came in for, he was with us for about 2.5, 3 months, and then we ended up realizing pretty quick that he just wasn't a great culture fit. And there was a lot of, yeah, I think it came down to culture fit, and then there was
Can
just
you
a little bit
elaborate
of,
on that? Give us some at like the.
I mean, yeah, not a ton, really. It's just one of those things that I'm open to elaborating. I just don't even know what, I can't even put my finger on it. It just didn't feel
You
right.
just knew, yeah.
There was a lot of stepping on toes on stuff on the office. Like our office girls felt that he would come in and try and do things over them, and then just kind of mess things up, and they have to end up redoing it or whatever. And then it was probably a lot of hiring problem with job description, if I'm
Okay.
being
Okay.
honest. Like a lot of it was probably my fault, on what his role was going to be.
Setting clear
That
expectations from
makes
the
sense.
front,
But
right?
it exactly like, yeah, I think it's just kind of one of those things that you don't really know 100% what you. So I guess rewinding a little bit, I think he would have been a great fit, and I felt that we would have needed him. That his job description would have been a great fit for us if we were still doing the mowing and landscaping and garden
Yeah.
stuff.
Yep.
But with changing business models, like the simplicity of what we are doing is astronomically more simple. So we're able to do, call it triple the revenue with half of the office staff of what we would have had to do with the other business model. So I think we brought him in, and then we realized we didn't need him as bad as we thought we were needed him. We kind of had a little bit of PTSD still
Yeah.
from doing the mowing and landscaping side of all the craziness of spring. It's like, you spring is just gnarly. It's
It
like it
is.
comes around, you need to hire, you know, 20 new guys and yesterday, and then you have all these crazy amount of late of phone calls coming in because everyone needs a lawn cut today. And with lawn care and pest control, it's weird. It's like it's a slow ramp up, and then it's a slow taper down. So it's like you don't have those crazy spikes where it's just astronomical amount of volume and craziness in the office. So I guess long story short, we were just able to be more efficient in the office and felt that the excess and didn't quite need him at this time.
Yeah, and how many techs do you guys have? Nice, at four, I think, four or five.
Yeah, so we've got five technicians and one is full time door to door.
Cool. And then you have two girls in the
Yeah.
office.
Two girls in the office. Yep.
And where are the majority of your leads coming from right now? I know you do a lot of the marketing yourself, haven't you, in the past, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, so I had a company before, Kudos. So actually Travis, one of my really good buddies,
We talked to Travis last week.
did all oh, cool. Yeah. Did the marketing for us. Our borders were like butt to butt. And one of that business that I told you about that I did an acquisition of
Went into
went
his
into his
market.
market. And it was one of those things that I needed to do to make sense. And then from a principal standpoint, it's like if it was reversed, I want to do the marketing for my buddies in my service area. I felt that it was best just to cut ties. And from there, I've gone elsewhere with some other companies helping me out with some of the SEO and ad management and stuff.
Yeah, because
But yeah, I would
you
say
guys
to answer your
were kind of
question.
our best friends, and then again, you
Yeah.
got the business. You guys always had this handshake of a deal where you guys went cross paths.
Yeah.
Like you guys ran the
Yeah.
same model together. You guys did the same things, like transitioned together, like
Yeah.
all together.
Yeah, still to this day, I mean, it's been a while since we've really collaborated a ton. But we used to do everything. Like we were in separate areas. You'd call us, and you'd have the same exact experience, follow-up process, everything. Really, just different names. So it was really funny how that worked. I would say what we're doing now is still very, very similar. But yeah, this market's so huge. Like none of us. I don't feel this way, and I know he doesn't as well. Like none of us feel hindered by the other person. Like there is so much business in this area. Yeah, I think that, yeah, just out of principle is like I need to find another company. So still great friends with Travis.
So where are most of your leads coming from? Are they online, offline? Like you're doing a lot of the door-to-door stuff. You're doing a lot of like the, you're doing like lawn signs. You're doing any email campaigns? Are you doing, obviously your pay-per-click, all things like that? Where do you say the majority of
I'd
your
say the
leads are coming
majority of
from?
it, the majority is online inbound. So AdWords. We honestly tapered down Facebook quite a bit. Mainly just my availability of being able to film videos and execute that great. So AdWords, I'd say, so digital, the majority, I'd call it 60, 70%. And then we have a small chunk coming from smaller acquisitions, and then another small chunk from door to door from technicians
Cool.
is
Are
probably
you
our
planning on making any
breakdown.
more acquisitions this year?
I just did one about 2 weeks ago. So it was another situation of a pest control company getting out of lawn. It was about 420 accounts of fertilizer, owner finance and owner carry note cash flow from day one. And we're just in that process right now of getting everyone onboarded and going.
Awesome.
So,
Good for you. Questions
yeah.
around that. Are you paying him like per customer? Is it like a long-term deal, like a 2 to 3 year deal? You don't have to tell exact numbers, but just how did you structure that deal?
Yeah. So it was a percentage of revenue at the time that we're doing. It was actually an interesting story. He came to me, again, just kind of friends in the industry. He came to me during the winter and said, "Hey, I want, you interested in buying this?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm always interested if, if the price is right," kind of thing. And he came to me and said, "Okay, we want this multiple. It's not even worth talking to you if you're not going to pay that." I'm like, "Dude, that's
See ya.
astronomically too steep. Good luck. Take it to market. Come back to me when you can't sell it." Because I was like, "You're never going to get that." And then he ended up coming to me 2 weeks ago and was like, "Hey, You are right. What will you pay for this? So I was able to get it at a fair market
Value,
deal,
yeah.
and we're able to make the terms good enough to justify both sides, if
Cool.
that makes
Yeah, it's a
sense.
win-win. So is
So
that just customers again? No equipment, no nothing else?
yeah,
Were they
just
on a
customers.
CRM too, or was they on paperwork, or how was that transition going to be?
No, so it was a pretty good, it's been a pretty great transition. So one of the interesting things is the way that they wrap their vehicles and their vans look almost identical to ours. So we've kind of pitched it to the clients as, hey, this is a rebranding. All your
Division of,
fertilizer is
yeah.
going to be done under this.
Yeah.
So your biggest deal breaker in the acquisition is retention, right? So you want to make sure that you can retain as many as possible. I ran my numbers. All of my numbers as far as cash flow projections was based off of losing 25% of business. Like, just when there's a change of ownership, the client doesn't choose you, they don't. Different ways of doing it, like card on file, different way of billing, different like time intervals. Everything lined up pretty dang good with that. As far as pricing goes, as far as their card on file, same software was used, so it's like
Sweet.
their experience is the same.
Cool.
And then we kind of just pitched it as a rebranding to them, and then just kind of going underneath the new name. So
So they.
we are still in the process of servicing all them, but we've had very, very little fall off. And a lot of the fall off that we had is us choosing not to work with that client based off of a huge pricing discrepancy, or like, we typically don't do huge, massive properties just because just they just suck, and our equipment's not made for doing, 40, 50, 30, 40, 50,000 square foot properties. So if it was in that, we would just drop it,
Yeah,
if
because
that makes
you're,
sense.
are you still mainly liquid?
Yeah, we're all liquid. So
Okay.
we're pulling a hose on everything with a van. All right, and we've got either a 250 or a 300 gallon tank in the van. So it's
It's a
like our
split tank too,
limited
right? It's
our
like.
limiting, yeah, our volumes are limiting, bottleneck and being able to service those.
Yeah,
So,
and I remember
and you're
seeing the
just not able
pictures.
to charge as much. I mean, like, you're just far more profitable to do the smaller residentials.
For sure.
So,
Even when you were doing mowing, you had small residential properties. You like you didn't go over like 10,000 square feet, or was it even less than that?
yeah, we cut. It was a 12,
Wow.
12,000 we would cut off. Yeah, we wouldn't do anything bigger than that.
Yeah.
So we could just have all of our vehicles be the exact same, and we'd just literally systemize everything where we had, the five trucks mowing. Any one of those trucks could have gone to the house and had the exact same equipment and experience for the client, and for our office staff wouldn't have to do any crazy scheduling and stuff like that
Yeah, I think
around equipment and lawn size.
when I saw your tanks, you're like a inside the van, weren't you like a 250, 100 split with two hose reels, something like that?
Yeah,
200, 100 split.
we have a 250 and a 50 is what we do.
Okay.
But we've recently stepped up to a 300 gallon and then a 65 pest. So 300 for 65 pest. That's been better. Probably a little bit under vanned. Our vans are, we're like right on the limit of what weight is, the weight limit of what should be used. So we probably have to go dualies, a little bit bigger vans moving forward. But we're happy with that size.
Cool. I like that.
Yeah.
And that, so since we're on the topic of the van, what
Yeah.
made you choose pink?
Yeah, I just eyeballs, right? It's
Yeah.
like you see a million van or a million, yeah, vans, trucks, cars, vehicles, and everything's just white and kind of blends in. Even if it's a company, nothing catches your eye. I needed as many eyeballs as possible. So when we first started, I went hot pink, and we would just take our trucks to Maaco, just get a gnarly, like, I don't know, like a
Safety
Barbie
pink, yeah.
pinkish color, paint a whole truck, and it was so obnoxious. And but we got a shitload of calls of people just being like, dude, we see you guys everywhere. And at the time, we only had two trucks or whatever. So that was yeah, that was kind of the reason, is just kind of getting eyeballs and sticking out.
Well, you know, I
So
love it.
yeah, totally. It's great.
What is like looking back at the last like it's been 10 years or so. What is be some of the best business advice you've ever been given? Something that just sticks to the top of your head.
I think there's a huge power to simplicity and focus. you keep, like, you're doing everything. Yeah, I think just simplicity. Like our business model before, it's like our fertilizer was carrying everything, and it got zero attention because it wasn't the squeaky wheel. All the squeaky wheel went to all the inefficiencies or fires or emergencies of everything else that was going on. And then just being able to really focus at one thing, you can provide a great service and easier to sell, easier to push when you're pushing one thing, and can become great. So I'd say just simplicity and focus are probably, and then and watching gross margin.
Great
My
advice.
kind of main things that are the move the needle the most, in my opinion.
Cool. If Taylor and I are sophomores in high school, who is Taylor?
Is Taylor? Oh man, that's a great question. I don't know. I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know. That's a great question. I don't know if I can answer that. I don't know.
Like, were you
I
in
felt like
sports? Were you an athlete? Were you a good
So
student?
I wrestled in high school. I was into
Yeah.
sports. I hated school, to be honest. I felt that school taught me how to ass kiss and how to talk my way into whatever. Like I was horrible at school. School was not for me. I did not do good for I was smart, but I had zero care in the world on the subjects that I was learning, and it was just an interesting dynamic for me. So I felt that, yeah, just I felt how I learned socially how to bribe and get my way in certain situations to make it through school, as far as the getting good grades enough to get through. So barely graduated high school. I had zero interest whatsoever in doing college because I barely made it through high school,
Right.
and it was like pulling teeth going every day.
Having two young kids, are you going to send your young kids to public school?
I don't know. I don't think so. Me and my wife are in, I mean, haven't crossed that road yet, but we kind of are leaning towards homeschool. Yeah, so don't know. Cross that road when it comes, but I think the schooling system needs a huge reform, as far as just it's a broken system in my mind.
Couldn't agree
I think
more.
that,
So I asked the question.
yeah. So, yeah, I just think education and learning is, there's so many better ways to do it. So yeah, no, we'll probably go to some sort of alternative learning,
Online or
whether
private
that's
or,
homeschool or
yeah.
some online or private. Like, yeah, maybe, yeah.
I love that. What are you
Yeah.
most proud of in the past 10 years of business?
In the past 10 years of business,
Maybe it's 8 or 9, but who's doing math?
yeah. I think just making it to a point where my business is here to serve me, and I've got the time to, I have the ability to do what I want to do with my time. I hate more than anything being told what to do in on a certain time frame. Like, that just rubs me the wrong way. I hate it more than anything. So like, if I want to go watch my, boy go to gymnastics or something, or you know what I mean, just anything. Like, if I have a doctor's appointment, I'm for my kid, I want to be there for to help my wife out with the kids. I want to go watch my wife at a barrel race or whatever it may be. I want to be able to have control over my time. And I think that I'm in a pretty unique situation compared to, your average American, of being able to have control over my time and my schedule. And I think that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, just freedom alone.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. So, the next 3 years, you think you'll have a new market somewhere south of you?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, so probably.
Are you ready to start over?
I don't know, to be honest.
Well, I'm assuming that you
No,
go in
I don't know.
and buy someone out, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think that would be what I want to do. Either I have I don't know what path I'm going to go, whether I go and buy someone and keep their brand, or whether I take my brand down there and then drop in some guys doing door to door. I don't know what that looks like. It is starting over in a way, but in the other side, it's like my current office and current a lot of my headaches that would have that arise from starting over are already covered due to my current infrastructure that I have with Green Grounds currently. So yes, if I did start over, it's not going to be near as painful as it is starting over. But I will say there's a saying that says your hardest dollar is your first dollar to make. Man, boy, is that true. I feel like once you've got the ball rolling, like it's far easier to make money, if that makes sense.
Does it?
And I feel like it was that I've done that twice with that huge cutback, getting rid of everything and going back to just starting Fert only. So I'm glad that I'm in the process of not cutting anymore. I'm just in the process of growing.
Yeah, I just
So
had that.
it's
I
far
had
more
that conversation
enjoyable.
this morning. Guys in pest control doing like 180, 200,000 revenue, and I told them it takes just as much effort to run a big company as it does to run a small company. I said, and at some point, it's I was gonna say it's even less, physically for sure.
For
So
sure.
I said, you just have to make that mindset shift to stop working on the $15 technician work and start working on the $500 to $1,000 working on the business. Hard to explain to someone who is hasn't made that mindset shift, but it's coming, you know?
And it's you don't know, you don't know. It's hard to see things when you're in the weeds and in the thick of things. So yeah, I'm glad I just continued to learn and was able to still, I mean, there's still a shitload of things that I don't know, and I'm going to continue to learn. And looking back, 5 years from now, I hope to be able to look at myself now and be like, wow, I wish I knew this, right? So I guess next 3 to 5 years is just continue growing and relearning and kind of reinventing myself of who I need to be at that position of life.
Yeah, I follow Patrick Bet-David really close. He's like a mentor of mine, but he doesn't really know it type of situation, kind of like a Jonathan. And he says that all the time, like you have to reinvent yourself all the time. Like not just once a year, it's multiple times, you know, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine times a year. And he said the best compliment that you can get is that someone says that I don't recognize you anymore.
Totally. Me and my wife are having that conversation about ourselves. It's like who I am today is like light years different than who I was, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Like it's crazy how much we've changed to just through growing.
Same here.
So
And like it
yeah,
brings me
I think
back
it's
to
super
like
important.
service autopilot like days, right? With Jonathan. He'd always tell us to act like the person that you want to be in 5 years. Like you don't really understand that until you understand it. And they're like, oh shit, that's what he meant. It's hard
100%.
to explain, but it's just
Yeah.
try to be the person that you want to be in 5 years. What is that person going to be doing? Like, oh shit, what is that person going to be doing? It's wild.
For sure.
Cool, man. Well, like I said, I told you I wouldn't keep you more than an hour. It's been an hour already, maybe even over an hour. Told you to go by
Perfect.
fast.
All good, dude.
And you were
Yeah,
nervous, and
not a problem.
you settled right in, and it went well.
Well, appreciate it,
Yeah,
man. Like I said, I'm in a wrong person, but glad I was able to have something digestible, hopefully.
you're a stud.
Appreciate it, man.
Cool,
You
man.
as
Well, I
well.
appreciate you. I appreciate your friendship, and keep kicking ass, man.
Okay, man. Appreciate it.
See
Thanks
ya.
for all you do. Okay.
Oh, wait, I got to plug.
Yeah, info@pestcontrolmillionaire.com. Send your questions. Are
Oh,
you getting
yeah.
questions, by the way?
I always get questions. Sometimes
What are
I
you gonna talk
forget.
about on the show?
I know. Well, we did answer one of the questions. And then, yeah, so if you have any questions, just reach us out at info@pestcontrolmillionaire.com. And the only thing that I ask of you guys, this is all for free just because we love doing it, is just to share the show and get some more downloads, get some more ears out there, and keep growing this thing.
Sounds good.
Sweet. All
Let's
right,
do
buddy.
it.
Thanks for checking out another episode of the Pest Control Millionaire Podcast. If this was valuable to you, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It really makes a big difference for our growth. And if you do need any help growing your business, go ahead and check out pestcontrolmillionaire.com. We have lots of courses up there from sales to operations. I have some courses there about producing short form content. Plus, we have a mentorship program where you can get one-on-one business coaching from the Pest Control Millionaire himself. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.